In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist, the body and blood, together with the soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore the whole Christ, is truly, really, and substantially contained. This is the faith of the Catholic Church. This is the faith which has been infallibly taught by several general councils of the Church, and reaffirmed by the popes throughout the ages. It is a faith which is reflected in sacred scripture, not simply the sixth chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, which we have been reading for the last several weeks, and we will wrap up on next week. But it is also reflected in the writings of the saints and the fathers. And we see it reinforced by the many Eucharistic miracles which have occurred throughout the centuries. One of the oldest that we know of, if not the oldest, occurred in Lanciano in Italy in the 700s. There was a priest who was doubting the presence of Christ in the Eucharist, and the Lord answered his doubt in a big way. While he was saying Mass, while he was saying the words of institution, the bread and wine physically and visibly became flesh and blood. It certainly answered his doubt. And his bishop ordered that the flesh and blood be contained in an ivory pyx. Several years, and by several years I mean several centuries later, the flesh was placed within a monstrance, and the blood was placed in a sealed chalice. Now you would think that after several hundred years it would have decayed, it would have vanished, but it didn't. And several hundred years after that, in our own time, in the 1970s, Blessed Paul VI ordered that it be scientifically analyzed. And you know what it showed? That the flesh was human flesh. And specifically, it was cardiac flesh. And the blood was indeed human blood, type AB. So those of us who have type AB, same blood type as Jesus. More importantly, it's the same blood type that's on the Shroud of Turin. You can go to Italy and you can see the Eucharistic miracle of Lanciano yourself. And yet even after the teachings of the Church, the teachings of Christ, people still say, how is this possible? I'll answer it the same way I've answered it the last several weeks. It is possible simply because Jesus is God. He created the entire universe out of nothing. He can do things like this. If you want to know in more specifics what actually takes place, it's the power of God working through the ministry of the priest. You know, God's the one doing the heavy lifting. That's one of the reasons why it doesn't depend upon whether the priest is very holy. It happens simply because he is a priest. And the priest uses not his own words. You know, we don't make up our Eucharistic prayers. He has the intention to do what Christ wants to do. And he uses the same matter that Christ used. You know, we don't use culturally appropriate food. We use wheat bread and grape wine. And Christ comes to us. This is one of the reasons why I can never understand anyone leaving the Catholic Church. To leave the Catholic Church is to leave the Eucharist, warts and all. Written on the words of our own cathedral's walls, written on our own cathedral's walls, rather, are these words. Except that you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, you shall not have life within you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. It's pretty clear, isn't it? It's clear how we achieve salvation. It's clear who saves us, and by what means he saves us. Because the Eucharist is true food and true drink. It allows us to remain in Christ and Christ to remain in us. And through it, we receive the very life of God. The life which comes from the Father through the Son and has done throughout all ages, the eternal progression. And through the Son, it comes into your life and mine so that we may have eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.